This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Youth Baseball Talk. Only on lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk, brought to you by The Rope Trainer, endorsed by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. And as John says, everyone from big leaguers to little leaguers should have one. Very proud to have The Rope Trainer on as our new title sponsor of the show. Phenomenal people. If you've heard my show in the past, you caught the episode that had Earl Perrin on talking about the wonderful device that he has created. And Chris Verna, the trainer, and John Smoltz, who were very integral in helping these guys both develop it, the proper way to use it, and to make basically a dream become a reality. When I met Earl down at the show and then consequently met Chris and John Smoltz, it was a great experience for me and really made me a believer in what they were trying to do. And a lot of you guys out there probably are familiar with the old towel drill. Basically, this both replaces it and enhances it. So I'll never forget that one of the questions I asked was, well, I got to be honest, why can't I just do the towel drill? And then it was a very simple answer as to how the rope trainer would change a pitcher's life, really, both from a training standpoint, from a way to get loose, a way to use it for a variety of instances that would help them become a safer, better pitcher. So great stuff. Very proud to have those guys as a part of the show each and every week. They're phenomenal. Make sure you check out theropetrainer.com. Get yours today. Like I said, endorsed by a great Hall of Famer in John Smoltz, who I've mentioned many times on the show, took probably his most amazing moment in his life, giving his Hall of Fame speech, and made sure that he addressed the growing arm epidemic that we have with youth players out there. So if John Smoltz is on board with this, I'm on board with it. Very happy to have him part of the program. We talk about endorsements on here a lot and people that want to come on and say this is a neat thing and you should try it. And sometimes I think we're all smart enough to know when something's a money grab and when something's really designed to try to help us. And we all know that what I try to do with this show is provide information to help you. That's what Youth Baseball Talk's all about. We've had some great devices as part of the show in the past. Obviously, the pitch hitter, which is a great device for helping young kids learn how to throw strikes, young and old alike, throw more strikes in a game, in a game situation, you know, and the rope trainer now being a part of this. There's guys out there that are dedicating their lives to helping people. And through the rope trainer, I was able to meet a gentleman on the phone, of course, that I've been following his work for quite some time as my kids have been involved in the game and as I started the show. A lot of you guys are probably familiar with him and you've heard him. His name is Paul Reddick. And one of the things that you'll see a lot from him, especially through social media stuff, is his 90-mile-an-hour club. And as I got more and more into learning about the 90-mile-an-hour club, I was real impressed by the fact that it's kind of a lot more than what you think it is. And so when I met Earl Perrin and the rope trainer came on board, they had a great connection with Paul. So I was able to meet Paul through them and learn a whole lot more, both about the rope trainer and about what they do. So I'm very happy to bring you guys this week. Paul Reddick. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate the opportunity and glad to be here.
Well, you know, I was mentioning as you joined us, my thoughts on the 90-mile-an-hour club, because I think in this day and age where people are chasing velocity, your mission is a little bit different. So being a baseball lifer, the first thing I'd love you to do is tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, you know, how you came to you know, form this, and then a little bit about the mission of 90-mile-an-hour club.
So, yeah, I was best thing, worst thing that ever happened to me in my life. I thought it was the worst thing at the time. I found out now it's the best thing. I flunked off the baseball team in my sophomore year of high school. I thought that was the end of everything. What it really was the birth of my coaching career. And I spent the next few years kind of blowing every opportunity I had to be a player because I couldn't figure out the academic side. I was one of those kids that never had to study for a test until I got to biology and algebra and stuff like that. And so what happened was I was kind of thrust out of the game, and I certainly had my chances, but I blew most of those. But I was dropped into coaching at a very young age, and I found my calling. And I don't know why or how or what I did to deserve all this, but I was kind of blessed with mentor after mentor that taught me the game, guided me through it. A guy named, by the name of Jack Burns, took me under his wing, taught me everything I know about the game of baseball, guided me through this whole thing. I ended up writing a book with Tom House. We did a couple of clinics together. I worked with a guy named Ray Korn, who was a coach of Elizabeth High School, is a national powerhouse in New Jersey. And all that led to me working with Yogi Berra. I was his camp director for 14 years, and now going back to I was away for 1 year, and now coming back to do some new programming there. So I don't know what I did to get so lucky in this coaching side, but I did. So that's kind of how my journey to getting to being on Youth Baseball Talk today. And but our pitching program was born. I had a very interesting experience. The first year we did the Yogi Berra baseball camp is, I had one of my pitchers go over, I brought the kids I was working with, my students, to be counselors at that camp. It's kind of a reward for the year. And I said, look, go over and give these kids a little lesson on pitching mechanics. They were like 9-year-old, 10-year-old kids. And this kid was like 18, graduated high school. And he went over there, and he did a spectacular job of detailing every single thing that I've ever said or he's ever learned about pitching mechanics. What struck me was he couldn't do the things that he knew.
Wow.
So, yeah, so he could teach them. He knew them, but he couldn't do them. And that was back in the year 2000. And that was really where I kind of shifted to, are we teaching kids the right things to maximize their potential? Because this kid knows everything he needs to know about pitching mechanics, but he can't execute pitching mechanics. So what's standing in his way? And that's kind of been the question that we've been trying to answer for the last 16 years.
You know, that's amazing, because we talk a lot about, as coaches, whether it be at the youth level, and I hear them say it all the way up through. I mean, the guys I know that are involved in minor league baseball, and you know, I don't know any major league managers, you know, except for the time I got to chat with Mike Matheny. But you know, the one thing I do hear is that, you know, sometimes they get these guys, you can tell they've been trained to be robots, and
yeah,
that could or you know, obviously there's a variety of reasons how it could come to be, but it could be the way that we teach them, and we try to make everybody the same and, like, you know, say, hey, this is the exact way you have to do it, which is kind of what we've gotten away from here on Youth Baseball Talk, is that whole mentality and just letting kids be athletes, right? And that's why I was so intrigued by what you're doing, because that now is your mission, correct?
Yeah. So here's where I start with all dads, right? I say, look, we're going to the wrong people to fix our problems. So let me first, I'm going to tell you the four things I think need to be in place for a pitcher to succeed. First, let me talk about the coaches that you want to, the coaches that become the problem. There's the first one is the traditional coach. And that's the coach that has the blurbs, the buzzwords, the sentence fragments, bend your back, follow through, get on top, you know, swing down. I don't even know what they're saying anymore. But he's got all the words. And they sound good when a coach yells them out. Sounds like the right things to yell out. But they're not part of a complete program. The second coach you have to be watchful for is the talent. And the talent is the guy who played in the majors, played in the minors, pitched a little bit, and now wants to teach pitching. So I use a very famous part of every speech I've ever given about pitching, every presentation. I hold up a picture of Randy Johnson in Randy Johnson's book, Power Pitching by Randy Johnson. And it's Randy Johnson demonstrating the proper arm angle. And he's got like a high over the top kind of arm angle. Like, hold, you know, it's like a still picture, of a studio type picture. 3 pages later is a picture where Randy Johnson actually releases the ball. And it's nowhere near that. So I always say, if you have a choice to listen to 2 people talk about pitching, you know, listen to Randy Johnson or Paul Reddick. Well, you're going to go, I'm even going to listen to Randy Johnson, right?
Yeah.
And so, but the problem is that Randy Johnson could do pitching. I don't know that he necessarily can teach pitching. And we make the mistake because somebody could do something means that they could teach it. And I often say, it's almost like if you broke your arm does the doctor who fixed your arm, did they have to have had a broken arm too?
Yeah.
You know, I've never, you know, that, I don't know that's always the case. Or just because somebody knows how to eat doesn't mean they know how to cook.
Can I use that one? Because that's a really good one.
Yeah, absolutely. And the third thing, the third person you have to watch out for is the scientist slash guru. And these guys are smart. There's no doubt about it. I admire them. I'll clap for them. I'll cheer for them. I'll look up to them. But they get nothing done. Here's why. They use 30-point Scrabble words. They talk about the body in terms that 99.9% of the people can't understand. They make pitching so difficult for most of the pitchers that are pitching. Maybe for the tip of the spear, maybe the major leaguers and the minor leaguers and the big D1s, maybe that information is useful. But we are blessed to run a pretty sizable organization. So we have a daily subscriber list about 283,000. I would argue that we maybe talk to more people on a daily basis than anyone. And we get the emails back when people try and do the things that are taught out there. So our job has always been to simplify. And it's funny because the biggest criticism of our program is it's just so simple. And that's usually from people who like to make things complicated. But my thing is that my first pitching product, the first version of the 90 Mile Power Club was 17 DVDs. I think I'm the only person who watched them.
That's probably not true, but I get you.
I'm willing to bet you 50 cents. But what we did is I overwhelmed them with everything I needed to, and I didn't figure out what they needed to know. And I gave dads a part-time job. Not only did they have to watch all this, they had to watch it, they had to understand it, and then have the ability to transfer that knowledge to their sons. No chance. No chance. So I was puffing up my ego. I thought I was doing a good thing. I was showing everybody how smart I was. I wasn't serving anyone.
Wow. I mean, that's an amazing thing to admit, you know, because I agree with you. We talk about it on here. It's not a rip on them. I mean, it's amazing.
No.
It's amazing when a guy that's played at a very high level wants to come back and teach kids and help kids. I think the hard parts maybe sometimes for him, and I'm each his own. I mean, everybody's different. The hard part probably sometimes is to check themselves a little bit and say, you know what, maybe not everybody can do it how I did it. I think when I say this all the time, when Chris Carpenter retired from the Cardinals, and then Dave Duncan left, I think everybody just assumed that Chris Carpenter would wind up being the pitching coach, right? Because who doesn't want everybody to be like Chris Carpenter, that mentality, right? The bulldog, the whole bit. And I everybody was so excited about that. And I heard, it was a broadcaster obviously that said, you know, I don't know that he could do it. And you're sitting there going, how could Chris Carpenter not be a pitching coach? Right.
Right.
And
He
said very simply, not everybody can give what Chris Carpenter gave. Not everybody has that attitude. Not everybody has, that's what made him great. He was a good pitcher. But it was his guts. It was his mentality. It was, and not everybody has it. And a guy like Chris Carpenter might have a hard time working with guys that didn't have what he had. So I do think that that's an interesting statement from you, and I think it's very telling as to where we're at, both as coaches, instructors, and parents.
When I sit with guys like this, and through the years of the Yogi Berra Museum, I've had blessed. There's events there throughout the year where everybody who's anybody, Gibson, Koufax, Clemens, Nolan Ryan, Bernie Williams, all the Yankees, Jeter, and all this guy all come through. And working behind the scenes, I've had some opportunities there to talk with people. But anytime that I sit down with people who play professionally or coaches that have a cement in the ground ideas, I always say, if you don't show me a void, I will walk away, because I'm a coach. That's what I am at heart. Now, if I want to coach you, but if you want to tell me that you know everything, or you want to tell me that you have ideas, or you want to fight me, I lose interest in you because I don't see any void that I can fill. So I would also give that advice to any players, any dads that are listening with their players. The best thing that your players could do is show a coach a void. And a coach will crack his knuckles and go to work because that's what they were born to do. So I will tell guys all the time, I can't heal what you hide. So if you want to come in with ego, if you want to come in with status, you want to come in with all these things, or you want to tell me, hey, I'm a grown man or I'm a coach too, well, it might be, but your guys are hurt. So I had a very interesting experience. Guy came to one of our – we do just about every month we do open seminars for dads who want to come into our office, about 20 or so dads at a time. And we'll just talk pitching for 3 hours at bagels and coffee and stuff like that. If people want to, they can contact you and you get them through me if they want to come to one of those. And we had a guy come in and says, you know, I pitched a little bit for the Reds. And usually that means to me pitching the minor leagues. And this guy sat there for 3 hours and took notes, asked questions, and just was totally engaged. I was like, just as a wonderful man. He emails me a couple days later and says, you know, I've been trying to figure out for the last 35 years why I got hurt. Let me send you some pictures. He didn't play for the Reds. He was on the big red machine.
Oh. Wow.
You know, this is a man who was on one of the greatest baseball teams, arguably, right? Maybe right. The greatest of all time, right. Beside the 27 Yankees or the 56 Yankees. Or whatever. Yeah. And he sat there and he said, I can't figure out why I got hurt. Now I've got two kids. And even though I had all the ability to make it to the major leagues and play with Rose, Concepcion, Morgan, Bench, all these guys, I can't figure this out. And here he was. He just said, I have a void. Help me fill it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing stuff. We're here with Paul Reddick and his 90 Mile an Hour Club. You know, great stuff as always. Make sure you check out youthbaseballtalk.com to stay up to date with what we're doing. Of course, we like all the Twitter interaction. At Podcast Baseball is our Twitter handle. And, of course, Facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk is a great way to communicate with us. And of course, love your emails, info@youthbaseballtalk.com. I see some stuff from you on Facebook, Paul. What's the, you know, in this day and age, when you're trying to reach so many people with what you're doing, and they're reaching out to you as well, what are some of the ways that you do that? I mean, how has this new generation both helped and maybe in some cases hurt you?
It's a misunderstanding of what we have to do as pitchers to really succeed. And that's what I kind of undoing all day long. And as the advent of social media came, I'll be honest with you, I ignored it for a little bit. I kind of wanted it to all go away.
Right? Yeah, it's not going
anywhere.
Because
we were already
anywhere.
In business for like 8-9 years with the advent of Twitter and all that. And I was like, but I realized that the more information that was out there, I said, the more wrong information is out there. And so what we try and do is educate people on what really needs to be done. Now, I'm going to preface everything I'm about to say is that I am a pitching coach. And I'm about to advise you that maybe you don't need a pitching coach. So it is not in my best interest to do what I'm about to do. But it is in yours, your listeners. It is in their best interest. So there's four pieces that in the puzzle that we need. And I like to use the analogy of building a building. So the first thing, if you and I said, hey, we're going to get together, we're going to buy some land, and we're going to build a building. The first thing that we're going to deal with is the land. Is there a sinkhole? Is there marsh? Is it wet? Is there something buried under there we need to know about? Is there some environmental issue? We're going to see, do we have fertile ground to build a building? And so the person who's going to tell you if you've got fertile ground is going to be a physical therapist who will do an assessment on you to see, is there anything wrong? Are there muscles that are tight? Are there muscles that are that maybe you got a little tweak, a little injury? Is there something that's holding you back and preventing you from doing the mechanics that I'm talking about? So one of the things, and remember that the fertile ground is where we're going to build the foundation. And the foundation of a building and the foundation of pitching mechanics are everything, because the foundation is potential. If I build a good foundation, if I dig that foundation real deep, I can build a skyscraper. If I build a bad foundation, I can't build a shed. So when I talk about fertile ground, I'm going to go to the second person first, but I'm going to jump back. The second person is the architect. Now we need to design this thing. So I'm the architect. I'm the pitching coach.
Right.
So my friend Chris McKenzie, physical therapist, that we had at our last dad seminar, he's the fertile ground expert. He's going to tell you, yeah, you're okay, or this needs to be tweaked. And I'm the architect. I'm going to say, this is what it should look like. This is how it should move. This is how it should function. This is what it should do. Now, one of the things that we talk about is the power angle, which is moving forward at the top of the lift. And that research comes out of the Dado Baseball Institute. We've kind of tweaked it a little bit. But so if we're telling kids to move forward in their first motion, their first movement. But let's say that kid has a jammed up ankle. he understands the power angle. He understands what to do. He maybe can recite it to me. He maybe can point out pictures to me. But if that angle is jammed up, he can't do it. Now, I'm willing to bet that 99% of the pitching coaches that we encounter in day-to-day life don't know how to fix an ankle that's tight or injured. But I know who does. Physical therapist.
Right.
So the physical therapist could say, your ankle's a little tight. You're not going to be able to do what the architect is telling you what to do. So now the problem becomes, when we have a problem with mechanics, who do we go to? We go to an architect. And the architect's just going to draw us pictures.
Right.
The third person, and I'm going to give you an example that kind of sews it all up, but the third person is the builder. Now, we got fertile ground, we've got plans, we've got an architect, now go to a builder. That's your strength coach. So if we want to build a building, we need to have the materials, we need to have the muscle, and we need to have the functional strength that's going to support the architecture we want to build. And then the fourth person is the building manager. The building manager moves in after everything is done, and that's your everyday coach. Now, the building manager is going to determine the long-term value of the building because he's going to be in charge of the upkeep. So if the building manager doesn't manage the building properly, the building will fall into disrepair. If an everyday head coach of a baseball team doesn't manage his pitchers properly, his pitchers will fall into injury and poor performance. So with all of those things, it sounds like a lot, but here's what you need to do. You need to go find a physical therapist that can give you a test called the Functional Movement Screen. Just go on functionalmovement.com. It's a nationally accredited medical organization. They will find a practitioner. You pump in your zip code. They'll give you a practitioner. It's a 10-minute test. Guys like you and I should have it, Jim. Young guys like us. We're both in our late 20s, right?
I wish.
So everybody should have it. I have one all the time. It's going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. They'll give you some advice on how to fix it.
I don't want to know what's wrong with me right now, to be honest with you. I can barely walk down the hall. You know, it's amazing you bring up the functional movement screen because you can't do anything anymore this is not a disrespectful thing, but if you get involved with any quality organization anymore or any program, anything, the very first thing they do to you is a functional movement screen.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is it's – in a world of change and where, you know, things are foreign to you until you learn and you get better, it's amazing to me the number of parents that look at me or, what is this? What's this have to do with baseball? Right. It's amazing how sometimes if something doesn't make sense to us immediately, how we're so quick to dismiss it. But yet this functional movement screen that you bring up is an amazing thing because I watched it firsthand, and it's really and again, it's these guys now that are part of my show each and every week. The guys over at Perfect Pitch and Throw with their rope trainer. When I met them, I saw the most amazing thing. I saw John Smoltz and Chris Verna, the trainer, on stage, and Chris was demonstrating the connection between John's hip and his throwing, and he did something on stage with John to increase his range of motion, his internal rotation. That I couldn't believe. It was all tied to his hip. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. And I think people thought, and it's like they'd done this before and people thought it was a setup. So he brought in just somebody else and did it to them. And it was amazing the connection between the hip and the internal shoulder rotation. So if you're not doing this stuff, it's amazing. But and I want to talk to you a little bit because you said something to me when we were meeting. With all the things that you do, you told me that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think you had said to me, the rope trainer is the first device that you've ever endorsed. Is that true?
That's true. Yep. In 16 years. So, like I said, we have a large subscriber list. Our 90 Mile Power Club sells about 50,000 copies per year. Very grateful for that. Very blessed for that. So we get a lot of people that want to be in business with us. And we've gotten everything from tees to sleeves to pitching machines to all kinds of devices that are all work great and great intentions behind them. I never doubt the intentions of the people behind them, but we've never got behind anything because just let me give you an example of the sleeve. right? There's those sleeves, you know, you put on and you're supposed to keep your arm warm or compression.
Yeah, I can't decide if those are for performance or for looks. I can't decide.
Well, here's the problem is that we didn't get behind them, not because I didn't think they were good guys, not that I don't think they believed in the product, is that I know in today's day and age that if we get behind a product, that people are going to use it. So we've built up our reputation that people are. I'm saying, I believe in this, and you should believe in it too. So I know if I do the sleeve, I don't think in between innings you should put on the sleeve, because the arms are not usually the problems. Usually, what causes arm problems are body mechanics issues. So if I had anything I wanted to keep warm between innings or in a long rain delay or a delay, I would want to keep the body warm and not just the arm. And my fear is that pitchers will just throw this on and treat it like an aspirin.
Right.
And so when I saw the rope trainer, first of all, whatever all of your listeners should know and believe is the people behind the thing. So I'm sure, as you know, right, you've been on the phone and been approached by people that,
yeah,
you know, you weren't so sure about their intentions.
For sure.
So when I talked to these guys, I was just thrilled. And I don't know Chris Verna, but I've been like, I guess today the kids call it trolling.
Well,
or,
I've been an admirer
for many, many years.
I want to bring up Chris real quick because you bring him up. Because, you know, when you start talking about a product like this, it's real easy to lose sight of the what's behind it, right? I guarantee you that when you look at the rope trainer, the first thing, and it's great, don't get me wrong, the very first thing you think of is John Smoltz, right? Because,
yes,
and you should, because I mean, the guy was a Hall of Fame pitcher, but more impressively with him, it is his approach to this whole youth arm epidemic, right? He really believes we have an issue. This isn't like he's not putting on a front. I mean, like I say it all the time, he took his Hall of Fame speech to address it. I mean, that's if you need conviction, there it is. The guy behind it, for sure, okay, that everybody should be really paying attention to is Chris Verna. I mean, this guy is one of the top trainer in the world.
Legend,
right? I mean,
legend in that industry.
Yes, I mean, he has helped some of the most you couldn't even list out all the athletes that, you know. What's funny is I had mentioned one of the guys, Randy Moss, to somebody, and they said, "Well, Randy Moss had problems all the time." I said, "If it wasn't for this guy, Randy Moss would never be on the field."
Yeah,
he kept this guy, you know, because. You know, these guys come to him and say, "I can't get away from this," and then they figure out a way to, you know. So those are the guys you better be paying attention to, and that's why I thought it was a neat connection when you brought up the physical therapist and the ankle and how it approaches, you know, the rest of the body. And when Chris Verna did this on stage, I was like, you know, we don't think about that. And then, you know, like you take your kids before a game and you start doing all these dynamic movements, and the parents are going, "Hey, are we going to play catch and take some ground balls?" It's like, wait a minute, we got to get ready to do all this and get the body prepared. And if the body's not prepared, it's not going to work right. So I just wanted to touch on Chris Verna and his importance into this and the development of it and what it is really for. So anyway, go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, so I talked to the guys about it. I felt the passion of what they were doing. I felt their commitment to it. They were fortunate to have Chris and John Smoltz involved in it. And like you said, John Smoltz could be out doing commercials for whatever. He doesn't need to be doing this stuff. He doesn't need to be as outspoken as he is. So, but I said to everybody, send me one.
Sure.
And I've got a closet. I mean, I could open up a Models with what I've got, you know, here of what people have sent us. And I got it and I said, wow, you know, for the first time, this is something that I think really kind of makes the towel drill a complete drill. So I was fortunate enough to be in that Tom House universe around the time in the mid-90s when he brought the towel over. And I'll tell you this, I still think the towel was a very valuable teaching tool up to a point. The problem in it is the towel's 1 ounce. And yes, you can hold a baseball and stuff like that. And it's, you know, I know the adaptations of it. But that there's no better drill that gave you the feedback. So I've seen kids that they miss left or right, they miss long or short. You don't have to say anything to them and say, here's your target, hit the target. And their body, that miracle is in the body, the brain and the body working together, right? That great mystery of how all this works, the body figures out how to hit the target. And in the in the gamification of trying to figure out how to hit the target, they're burning in proper mechanics. Where I think the rope trainer does a great job is in that it has a regulation baseball. Number one, it's got a little, it's got the tethers to the side. There's a little bit of resistance there, which I think is good. Build up some strength, some durability. But it's got the application of you're holding the baseball. So you're getting the benefit of the feedback. Did you hit the target? Did you not hit the target? And the automatic adjustment that your brain and body will be making for perfect mechanics. And you're getting the benefits of holding on to the baseball. So one of the videos I saw with Chris Verna was dead on when he talked about the muscles that are activated in grabbing a baseball versus grabbing a towel. I still, even having said that, I still think there's a lot of benefit for younger pitchers to do the towel when they need repetitions without taking throws at the wrong. Yeah. But the rope trainer gives you the benefits of the holds, which will help you build up decelerator muscles. So what's been famously said a million times is that the arm won't speed up what it can't slow down. So there's been all kinds of research. I'm sure you've gone through it. But so for me, it was a product that I remember sitting in my office and saying, it's been so easy for 16 years just saying no. Now all of a sudden I have a problem. I got to figure out how we're going to put this out because we can't say no to it.
Well, you know, when I met them and you know, they were so gracious to me and they let me attend John's lunch and the whole bit. And I got to meet them and find out what they were really about. And that's when I became very impressed when I actually met them and heard them talk. And I realized it was more than just, but I think, you know, you always have that little bit of skepticism, right? So for me, it wasn't that I didn't, you know, because let's face it, they know so much more about this than I ever will. Right. But I think sometimes you start thinking to yourself, okay, if these guys want me to, if they want to use my, what I have to get this out there, what's the first thing somebody's going to say? And I remember the very first thing that went through my head was, well, why can't I just do the towel drill? But, and you touched on it. I touched on it earlier. It is the fact that you actually hold the ball. And then when you come down and decelerate, it's that feeling that you have. And then there was obviously the save bullets and all that kind of stuff and getting loose without the actual art of throwing. I mean, it was just to me a different approach product also, not like everything else. And that's why I was kind of drawn to your stuff at the very beginning too, because you and I talked about it. I think sometimes you see 90 mile an hour clip and you think, okay, everybody's chasing velocity. Well, what you were chasing is, you know, how are we getting there? What are we doing to do all this? I mean, are we just going out and just doing all this stuff in search of a number, or are we trying to do it the right way? Are we trying to get – that's what I was most impressed with you, and that's why I'm most impressed with these guys. So to hear you be on board with this and you're using it, correct, in what you're doing?
We've gotten tremendous feedback from our people. We have one person here, sole job, is to talk to our clients on a daily basis. That's it. And we've gotten tremendous feedback on it.
Well, that's great. I'll tell you what, as impressive as that is, before I have you have another project that you're working on that you were kind enough to send to me to check out. It's something you're just getting started. I want to come back on the other side in part two of this, and I want to touch on it. You've just started something called Baseball Dad's Newsletter. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
And you were kind enough to send me your first stuff on this. And I got to tell you, it so ties into what we're doing, trying to do here at Youth Baseball Talk. And that is the messages that we're trying to get across to people that, you know, things aren't always as they seem. Take a step back. Think about what you're doing. Think about what everybody's doing here. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do things, but, you know, just get informed. I was so impressed with what you're doing that if you don't mind, I'd love to do a segment on that as well.
Sure.
If you're okay with it. Absolutely. Before we go, though, I want you to take this opportunity, tell the people how they can find out about your 90 Mile an Hour Club, all your courses, all that kind of stuff. Where are you at? You know, Twitter, Facebook, all that. Take a second here and tell all our folks out there where they can find all that.
Yeah. So I don't do anything very Twitterific. So I don't.
You're not a Twitterific guy, okay?
We do have a Twitter account, but I don't. It's just not built for me. So the best place they could go to find out about our what we're doing is just paulreddickbaseball.com. And from there, you can kind of go through the path and you'll see all the products. We also are, we're excited about the Baseball Dads thing, which I'm excited to talk to you about. But we also just, you know, in all of our dads seminars that we put on in our office, we filmed the last one. And so we'll have that coming out soon. That's specifically geared, it was a room full of dads specifically geared for what every dad needs to know about pitching, especially in this day and age that, as I told you before, our mission is to take that confusing and frustrating stuff that you get from the scientist, the traditional coach, and the talent, and to make it simple. So we spent 4 hours making it simple. And so this is really everything a dad needs to know about their kid pitching. So that'll be out pretty soon. Pretty excited about that.
No, it's awesome. So yeah, I'm obviously on your site, and I've checked out all your stuff. I know you do some stuff on Facebook as well. Facebook's obviously a great avenue to connect with people with your, I know you're on there with your 90 mile an hour club. But PaulRedickBaseball.com would also be a way. And I think it's a testament to you and what you're doing. And, you know, you've grown to where you've grown, and you obviously have a phenomenal background, and you admittedly have been blessed with the association with Yogi Berra and where it's propelled you to. So I think sometimes too, that we need to look at it and what an interesting thing that most people need to use Twitter. You obviously are doing it through email. So if people want to stay up to date, would they go to PaulRedickBaseball.com and just enter their email, and then they'll be part of your newsletter?
Yeah, and then that's the way to really to get into our whole universe. And then we do a daily newsletter out to our list, and then we do update our Facebook page with those same messages. But that's the best place to go. That's really we'll get you into everything that we do.
Yeah, I mean, you got some nice guys on there that think a lot of you. I mean, Goose Gossage, what a classic guy.
Yeah.
Before I take us to break here, for the other side with our great segments, I got to ask you: you got any good Yogi stories?
I've got a million.
Okay, well,
Let me tell your listeners this. I've been around the game for a long time, and because of the museum, I've met a lot of great people, and I worked in professional baseball for a number of years, and coached and scouted. Whoever you think Yogi Berra is, you're right. He's the genuine article. The greatest lesson that I learned from Yogi Berra, when I went to work for him, I was 26, 27 years old, and I thought I was really something. I thought I was the person my mom thinks I am. And Yogi Berra taught me the lesson that I will tell you that every person that walked into the museum, he treated the same way. And I saw him with some super famous people, Tim Russert, politicians, Derek Jeter, all these types of people. And he treated the guy that was delivering the chairs for the event the same way he did the guy who was the star of the event. And I'll never forget a moment with Yogi where the UPS guy came in. I was sitting there, and the UPS guy's putting the boxes down, and Yogi goes, and the guy is like enamored, you know, he's just enamored with Yogi. Yogi goes, "Busy time for you guys?" He goes, "Oh yeah, yeah, busy time." He goes, yeah, I'm busy too. And they're talking about being busy. And this man, like in this span of a few seconds, just kind of, he wasn't talking to a baseball legend. He was talking to a guy about being busy. And the UPS driver's like, "Well, take it easy. Don't get too busy. You know, make sure you take your rest." He's like, "Yeah, you too." He's like, I will. And it was just like, you know, this guy just, he just had that ability to just mold you in and make you feel great, make you feel comfortable. He's everything you thought he was, and more, the most humble, kind, just beautiful guy. My hero. Miss him every day.
Well, it's an obvious statement that he's made an influence on you and what you're trying to do. I love your 90 mile per hour club stuff. I love what you're doing with the mission. Appreciate the fact that you're part of the rope trainer and using it and able to come on here today and basically reinforce my belief that we made a good choice by working with them. I mean, obviously we need sponsors to continue the show, but at the end of the day, we get a lot of people interested and we want to work with good people. And again, if you know, your stories do nothing but you know, compliment the things that I know about them and know to be true. So it's great stuff. I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to part two of our interview because I think your Baseball Dad's newsletter is going to be life-changing for a lot of people. So I'm real interested in that. But I appreciate it. So I think we're going to do part two of the interview here, and I'll get it out to my people. But before we do, I want to make sure everybody that wants to keep up to date with the show remembers to, the easiest way to always stay in tune with us is just to subscribe to the show. It is free. You just go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet, and just click that subscribe button. That'll also give you an opportunity to leave us a rating or a review. You can find us at lineupmedia.fm. We are part of the Lineup Media Group, one of the fastest and quickest growing podcast networks in the country, of course. Great shows, new entertainment value coming out every day. I guarantee you, if you go to lineupmedia.fm, you will find something that is worth your entertainment time. I have a great partner in Pete Caliendo and his show, Baseball Outside the Box, which is just another look at the game of baseball. He tends to look at it from an international perspective. Pete's been all over the world. It's a really fantastic show. You know, I'm very proud to be a part of lineupmedia.fm. There's no doubt. If you do want to subscribe to my show, though, and with it being free, you know, I tell people all the time, the easiest way to do it, just go to youthbaseballtalk.com. The subscribe buttons are right over there on the right. Depending on what device you have, you'll just click on it, and it'll walk you through it pretty quick. So I tell you what, we're going to take a short break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to hear from Domingo Ayala this week. He wants to talk to you a little bit about the coach blamer and his place in baseball. Of course, we're going to hear from Justin Stone and his EliteBaseball.tv training tip of the week. He wants to talk to you a little bit about preparing the whip, and you're going to find that the whip he's talking about here is the swing. And, of course, we're going to hear from Rick Strickland with his Rick Strickland Baseball Tip of the Week. This is Jim Cromer with Youth Baseball Talk, brought to you by The Rope Trainer, endorsed by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. As John says, everybody from big leaguers to little leaguers should have one. So we're going to see you guys on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Attention coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us through the break there. Very happy to have you back here. Youth Baseball Talk, brought to you by The Rope Trainer, endorsed by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. And as John says, everyone from big leaguers to little leaguers should have one. Really appreciated Paul sharing with us today some information about his 90-mile-an-hour club. I enjoyed the conversation with him, especially when I was on the phone with him and I got to know him. And, you know, it was interesting. I think even in his voice you hear him, you know, the 90-mile-an-hour club, he doesn't want that to be misconstrued for other than what it is. And what I appreciated about him was, is, you know, when you talk to him, he's pretty genuine about the whole, he knows people are out there chasing velocity. But what I appreciate, and I think we talk a lot about on here about letting kids be athletes, is that we have to take it's okay to try to fix something with somebody when they're doing something really wrong. Like, you know, obviously we don't want anybody to hurt themselves. Obviously, if somebody is really doing something that fundamentally or sequence-wise is really going to cause them issue, or even possibly is something that they're doing which is causing them to not have the success that they want. I think all coaches and all evaluators and all people that are doing that, we're all here to help them, right? But, you know, I can appreciate when a guy that's that accomplished says, you know, I don't know that we're teaching them the right things. I mean, again, I think he was alluding to what we talk a lot about, and that's making kids robots. I mean, that's not what we're looking for, of course. So it's really good stuff, and I really do encourage you to check it out. I'm so excited about next week bringing him back to talk about his Baseball Dad's newsletter. I got to be honest with you guys. When I first met Paul, it was through the guys over at the Rope Trainer, and they were telling me about him, and I'm like, you know, I've been following him for a while, and there was a connection. You know, it's amazing. It's like the Kevin Bacon thing of youth baseball. the more people I meet through various things, the more access I have to some of these great guys. And, you know, I didn't know Paul. I didn't get a chance to meet him at ABCA or anything like that. And when I found out that Earl over at Perfect Pitch and Throw was good friends with Paul, I was like, man, I'd love a meet and greet. And he's like, absolutely. So to be able to have him on to talk about what they're doing, because they are doing such big things, was an amazing thing. And then obviously it was a good fit. I got to tell you that when you're as large and as big as Paul is, and a guy like him says, you know, and he's right, and I do, and it isn't that I'm as that what I'm doing is any bigger than anybody else. But I get sent emails all the time from people, and it's not bad. I want them to keep coming, and I think sometimes they're like, love to come on the show and tell you about our new product or whatever. And it isn't that I have an issue with it, because I'm here to let you guys hear about those things, and I will get to all of them, because, you know, I'm not in a position to say, well, no, I don't want to, I'm going to pick and choose, because this is more of an informational thing. But for Paul, he's actually working with kids, training them, helping them become the best players he can be. So I really understood his statement of, you know, it's hard for us to say, yeah, we'll push this or push that. So for him to say, when I met up with these guys, started working with the actual rope trainer and realized what it could do for our kids, you know, what it was about, who it was endorsed by, what it meant, that's a big deal. So I appreciated that greatly as well. And obviously it was a great tie-in with the rope trainer coming on as our lead sponsor to be able to have Paul come on. And it's one thing for me to tell you a little bit about it, and obviously I believe in Earl and his wonderful product. When a unbelievable in his field trainer like Chris Verna is such a big part of it, and then you have Hall of Famer John Smoltz a part of it and what it's for. You know, at the end of the day, I like kind of what Paul had to say. John really doesn't need to be doing this. I mean, let's face it. I mean, some of these, they don't need to be taking their time and spending it on this, but he's obviously very passionate about it. And, you know, I don't know the whole story. You know, I don't, you know, maybe something happened to him when he was a kid and upset him, or maybe he has friends that have kids that are in this. And I don't know the backstory to that, of why he's so passionate. Maybe it's just he's a human being and it frustrates him to see the things going on. I don't know the answer to that. I'd love to ask him. And when I get the chance again, I'm going to ask him, I'm going to say, what's your driving passion behind this? Maybe it just is a right and wrong thing with him. I don't know. But for guys in this capacity to take the time to do this and say, hey, folks, let's look at it. Something's going on. I got to say, at the very least, we have to stop and check it out. So, again, and that, for me, bringing in somebody, you know, like I've done with the rope trainers being part of the show, no different than the pitch hitter. Love having them bring you the Domingo segment each week, which we're going to hear from Domingo here in a second. Check this stuff out, you know. Go to theropetrainer.com. Go to thepitchhitter.com. Check these things out. You know, there's lots of great things out there. These just happen to be tie-ins for me that I think you guys might be interested in, because I get your emails, I get your direct messages, I get them all. I know you guys are all dealing with the same things that I've dealt with for years, both as a coach and a parent, you know, and these, both of these things for me are items. And again, not that some of the other items aren't great. I got another guy that has an unbelievable training aid that he just mailed me, and I want my son to use it before I talk about it, because I want to see it. And but my son's wrist is messed up right now, so my apologies to the gentleman that sent it. But I want him to use it first, because I want to check it out. But it looks to me like something that, from my experiences, will help kids with what I believe to be one of the biggest problems for kids in hitting, and that's casting. And it's because kids are smaller and they tend to want to use their hands more earlier in the swing, and they cast the bat. Well, I want to see if it works or not for my son, because then I want to be able to come on here and tell you what I've seen. But both the rope trainer and the pitch hitter are both items that would have helped me, especially when my kids were younger. Okay, and the rope trainer is something that my older son is using, and it's helping him because he has had some arm issues. This is helping him. It is, and again, like I said, and the pitch hitter is something you should check out, because the one thing that drives everybody crazy is when you go to a game and some 9-10-year-old kid can't throw a strike, and what do we inevitably do? We sit there and what do we say 1,000 times over? Just throw strikes. Slow down. Just throw strikes. And you know what? We don't know what we're talking about. All right. If we allow the kid to just do it a little bit more often in a game situation, which is what the pitch hitter will do, it'll give them that opportunity. So that's kind of where some of these products have landed, how they've landed on our show. Very happy to be affiliated with them both. And, you know, and it is that time. And thanks again to the pitch hitter for each and every week bringing you the one and only Domingo. And I love his takes. It's a lighter side of baseball, but he's also got some serious tones in his messages, so make sure we're listening clear. But he wants to talk a little bit today about coach blamers. So without further ado, thank you to the pitch hitter, pitchhitter.com. Check it out today. Here's Domingo.
Hi, Jim. How you doing? Thanks for having me on. And a special thanks to the pitch hitter for making this happen. Today, I want to talk about the coach blamer. This is a guy that will blame the coach for anything bad that happened. This player not going to give Mr. Coach credit for the good time, but as soon as you go in a slump or give up a few runs, it's the coach's fault. Listen, it's not the coach's fault you batting a buck 50. He's not telling you to pop up to the shortstop. And it's not Mr. Coach's fault you give up a 500-foot bomb. Just because Mr. Coach called a certain pitch, not mean you have to put it right down the middle. It's not the coach's fault, so quit blaming him. Well, actually, it is the coach's fault. He should have never put you in the lineup. But if you're going to blame the coach for the bad time, you got to at least give him credit for the good time. But the coach blamer never do. You see, Jim, that's why it's tough to be a coach. Because it's the player that win the game, but it's the coach's fault when they lose. Sometimes you can never win. As a player coach myself, I would have to blame myself for the bad time. But that never happened because I never had a bad time. Well, that's what I got for today. Next time you hear a teammate complain about a coach, you gotta try to figure out if it's real or if you're just dealing with another coach blamer. Thanks again to the pitch hitter for having me on. If you don't want to worry about the bad times, use the pitch hitter.
Awesome stuff, Domingo. And once again, thank you to the pitch hitter. You want to be big time or you want to be semi-pro? Check out thepitchhitter.com and help your little guy throw more strikes. Let's take it over to Justin Stone now. He's got some interesting takes this week. The title of his show, when he sent it to me, this is interesting because I, like you, am always curious of what he's going to talk about. When he sent me the show this week, it was Prepare the Whip to Work. And I'm like, prepare the whip to work. I thought it was a typo. And I sent it to him, and I got the interesting, well, did you listen first? And I'm like, well, no, I didn't. I was in a car with somebody. I was in a passenger seat. And I just thought I'll knock this out. He must have typoed. So when I listened to it, it made all the sense in the world. And that is the fact that we want to prepare the whip to work. Take a listen to Justin Stone here with his EliteBaseball.tv training tip of the week. Justin, take it away.
Thanks, Jim. Justin Stone here again with the EliteBaseball.tv tip of the week. And this one is going to go over one aspect of hitting that I think is one of the most undercoached pieces of youth athletes trying to swing a baseball bat efficiently. And it goes into the rhythm process. And I'm going to explain a couple different factors of this from the coaching aspect. But first, your rhythm is designed like this. Our body is a natural giant whip. And I can create whip action in it, in more efficient whip, if I can prep that whip to work. Our rhythm is designed to do just that. It's designed to get my body prepped to become that gigantic whip. Now, when we take away that whip action from a youth hitter, it's like taking a real whip, dipping it in water, and putting it in the freezer. When it comes out, it's not the same. We lose that elasticity, and it becomes very rigid and stiff. Well, hitters work the same way. Oftentimes I see with youth athletes, their coaches will tell them, you can't have that movement in the batter's box. You gotta be still, you gotta get ready to swing the bat. And we take away their natural athleticism, their looseness. And we want that upper body to stay loose and tension-free because that is the crack of the whip. Truly, now as we get into advanced athletes, we're talking about the swing sequence. And the swing sequence starts as soon as I start moving. When I step in the batter's box and I get set in my stance, and I begin my rhythm, my body is now ready to get sequenced into the swing. And that rhythm does contribute a couple of different ways into an efficient sequence. And here's the first way. The slow rhythm is designed to slow my body down for this first step of the process. The load stride process has to be slow, smooth, under control. A slow rhythm will help factor into that. And in our stance, we already have a deeper knee bend typically. I want to feel my legs having some pressure into the ground, especially if I'm a younger athlete. I want to start with pre-pressure into the legs because we're telling our lower body, hey, we want to fire here first. But the same thing holds true in my upper body. I want to be loose and tension-free. And that rhythm will help contribute to that, keeping our upper body dormant during the first part of the loading process as we get our legs to be active first. But that same rhythm in my lower body will contribute being smooth and efficient into that first lower body load. I'm trying to load into and around my rear hip. When my lower body is already in motion, it's a lot easier to get into a correct loading lower body process. However, when you take that natural athleticism away from youth athletes and you put them still in the batter's box, what ends up happening is oftentimes their first move becomes very jumpy and fast to the front side. Completely the opposite of what we're trying to do to get them to stay in their backside and use their lower body to power the swing. As soon as I jump forward fast into my front leg, we've essentially lost the lower body, and now we're asking our upper body to do more, to try to power the swing with the wrong muscles inefficient in the swing. So when we get into this loading process, it's designed to be slow, smooth, under control, so we give our body the best opportunity to start from the ground up. So you hear oftentimes, I've heard dads talk at the stadium when they're watching ball with their kids. I see youth coaches say, you can't move the bat around like Josh Donaldson, or you can't move your bat around like Anthony Rizzo. And yes, you can. However, with youth athletes, we do want movement. I promote movement, but I want that movement to be under control, simpler. I'm not going to ask a 9-year-old to do the same thing Gary Sheffield did in the batter's box to hit 600 home runs. We want to calm those motions down, but we do want to embrace movement and athleticism in the batter's box to give ourselves a chance to start the swing correctly and most efficiently. Until next week, this is Justin Stone and the ElitePaseball.tv Tip of the Week.
Great stuff as always, Justin. Really appreciate you and your wonderful training advice. And to learn more about Justin, just go to ElitePaseball.tv. And his wonderful membership program there for some unbelievable training advice and videos and things that you can use. Kids of all ages, you have access to it, ElitePaseball.tv. All right, let's hear from our own local expert, Rick Strickland, over with the St. Louis Pirates with his blast motion tip of the week. Rick, take it away.
Hey, Jim. Always a pleasure to be here on the show. Wanted to spend a few minutes here. We've got a big event coming up at the end of October for high school players. You know, and the high school players we're looking at are guys who were going to be sophomores or are sophomores, juniors, and kids who have not committed as seniors in high school. This is the first time we've ever done this. This is our fall camp, college camp. For a variety of reasons, the NCAA decided that college coaches couldn't go off campus in the wintertime. Do camps at other locations. So we decided to do ours here this fall. We're going to have ours on October 29th at Lindenwood University over in St. Charles, Missouri. So we're going to do that October 29th over at St. Charles. This is going to be pretty cool that we're going to do that this time of year. We think it still works good. Guys are pretty much in good baseball shape as they wind up the fall. But one of the reasons why we do that, we think we have a couple different reasons as to why the format that we put together for College Showcase works, for that matter. It's a situation where we bring kids in and we test them and move them around based upon things we think that are know from history that what college coaches are looking for. So we put them through an athletic skills test. They go through they will have an opportunity to complete a mental evaluation in our online portal. They'll have opportunities to know exactly what they need to work on to make themselves presentable. One of the things we want to do with our showcases is we want to make sure in our camps, we make sure that once the kid and the coaches have had a conversation on the field and they've had a chance to talk and things of that nature, the kids leave our event knowing exactly what types of schools they need to target. That way parents are not spending wasting money going to camps and showcases that really aren't good fits for them. So that's what the Rick Strickland Baseball Diamond Identity College Development and Scouting Showcase Camp format is for. Again, we're going to hold that again on October 29th at Lindenwood University. You can reach out to us on Twitter at Swing Rehab, or you can try us at SLP Nation, both those Twitter handles. That's our Pirate Twitter handle, and it's my Rick Strickland Twitter handle. So if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. Look forward to hearing from you and some feedback. Any questions, give us a shout. Thanks, Jim. See you again next week.
Great stuff, as always, from our man Rick over with the St. Louis Pirates. And really appreciate Blast Motion bringing Rick's tip to us each and every week. I know Rick's an ambassador for Blast Motion, and they have a wonderful product that Rick uses. I've seen it firsthand. He uses it with my son, and it's amazing. We've had Zep on to actually talk about the product. I'm efforting to get the people from Blast on. Rick is a big believer in Blast and what it tells him and what it allows him to do to help the students hit, better with athleticism. And it's interesting that Paul mentioned earlier in the show the functional movement screen is the first thing you should have done before you do anything. It is amazing how training has changed so much just from when I got into this. And it was a lot simpler way back when. You showed up for 30 minutes, you hopped in a cage, you started swinging a bat, you heard some of the cliche terms all the time. You went to a pitching lesson, you showed up, you hopped up on a mound, you threw a little bit. It just seems like the more things veer in that direction, we're finding ways to let kids be better athletes and let their athleticism take over. And it's that athleticism sometimes that we need to work on. Maybe it's not pitching. Maybe it's not swinging a bat. Maybe it is athleticism. Regardless of what it is, I like the way that we're trending when it comes to that. Some people do not. Some people have an issue with all of this. They just want to, just go out and play. That's okay too. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, let's face it. I'm fairly confident that if you're my age, which I'm 46, and you grew up back in the day, you probably learned how to play baseball down at the playground or in the sandlot. And let's face it, we want to get back to that here. We talk about it all the time. We have to get back to a sandlot mentality. Well, if we could do that, I would be ecstatic. It just doesn't seem to be happening anymore. We can talk about the reasons why. Just, the way the new towns are created, we don't have that close-knit, area with everybody meets at the park every day. People, God forbid something would happen to a kid. And, it's amazing, though, how we had all these same problems, but we found a way to deal with them. I mean, we had kids get hit with a bat. We had kids get hit with a ball. We had kids get hurt running. Somehow we lived. But nowadays, if that happened, it would shut it down. We can't let these kids go out there with bats and balls, not without adult supervision. Well, we did it every day for 10 years. I don't know how we got – I don't know how we lived. I mean, and I'm as guilty as all of you. I mean, I think about sending my youngest son, who I've always – I love him, greatest kid in the world to me, but we call him the squirrel for good reason. I can't imagine sending him down to the sandlot with an aluminum bat and a bunch of baseballs and to be around 15 other kids and not think for 1 minute that somebody's not going to come home with a bloody nose. But the reality of it is I came home with a bloody nose a few times and I'm still here to talk about it. So that'll do it for the show this week. Really hope you enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to bringing you, as I mentioned earlier, Paul next week with his Baseball Dad's newsletter. Like I said, it was an added bonus when I got to meet him and found out what he was doing, and he was kind enough to share it with me. It's awesome stuff. It's exactly what the message is here from us at Youth Baseball Talk. I know he and I are talking about possibly linking up and helping one another because, I mean, anybody that wants to take the time to help not just with the baseball side but wants to help with the family side, I'm on board 100%. And I got to tell you, I can't wait for you to hear what Paul's got cooking. And really appreciate the hookup from my good friend Earl Perrin over at Perfect Pitch and Throw with the connection with Paul. It's one I won't take lightly as I really, really love his stuff. And, of course, special thanks again to The Rope Trainer for jumping on board as our show sponsor. It means a lot to me that they believe enough in Youth Baseball Talk. I hope to show them that I believe in them enough and the way that I endorse their product and promote their product to you. And again, I'm not going to change. They know that. I'm basically just going to ask you to check it out and see if it works for your son or daughter. I do believe in it. I understand 100% what they're doing. And at this juncture, we have to figure something out. So I think it's a great product for that. Special thanks again to the Pitch Hitter for bringing us the Domingo segment each and every week, thepitchhitter.com. Our good friend Justin Stone over at elitebaseball.tv, and our good friend with Strick Hitting, Rick Strickland, over with the St. Louis Pirates. For Youth Baseball Talk, I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and for my producer, Brian, we'll see you guys Monday with our Monday Morning Solution episode. Have a great weekend.
Tune in next week for another edition of Youth Baseball Talk. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the show. Find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter at podcastbaseball. Plus, check out all of our podcasts at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.